As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read the scriptures and hear a word proclaimed. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke today and Mary's song of joy as we prepare for that perfect light that will come and be with us as we celebrate on Christmas Eve, the birth of Christ. And so I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verses 46 through 55. Before I read, let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to, together as a community of faith, to sing praise songs and worship you, to hear a word from you, both read and proclaimed. To know that we're not alone on this life journey that you have us on, that we're here with brothers and sisters, folks that we can visit with, that we can talk to, that we can laugh with, that we can cry with, that we can just go through all of what life journey looks like for each one of us. And so God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Luke 1, 46 through 55, it says, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Bless you. Well, 2 days away, we're almost there. The wait is almost over as we move closer to the manger in which Christ was born into our midst. During the season of Advent, we've been in this series called The Weary World Rejoices, based on a curriculum by Dr. Kate Ballard. We've looked at different promises of God throughout this series, and those promises have been the promise of truth, the promise of compassion, the promise of restoration. Today we're looking at this promise of justice, and on Christmas Eve, the promise of relationship. In Hebrew, justice means more than punishment or retribution for wrongdoing. In Hebrew, it's mostly concerned with restoration and mercy. Justice for the church looks different than the way that we use the word justice in the world. For the world, it's often used as punishment, people getting what they deserve. But the kingdom of God, it's not ruled in the same way, but it's ruled by grace, by mercy. And you see, there's nothing fair or equal about grace. If we all got what we deserve, we would all be in really bad shape. For Jesus, justice instead comes through mercy and love. The righting of wrongs occurred when people are fed, clothed, empowered, loved, when they find belonging. It's a gentle revolution. Not some grand show of power, but God chooses the margins of society where God will be born to dire circumstances, to an unwed mother in an unsanitary condition without even a proper roof over her head. Mary had no money, she had no husband, she had no house, she had no power, she had no respect, and yet God chose her, saw her, called her blessed. And that's why we see this response of Mary in today's scripture, praising the goodness and the redeeming work of God. But God saw her and chose her and blessed her. And she's singing for joy. A Savior born to an unlikely mother who cannot contain her joy. A joy not only for herself, but any and all who find themselves left out or skipped over or judged for one reason or another. For the generations who have waited for this promise to be fulfilled. So right before today's scripture where Mary is singing for joy, she travels to go visit her relative Elizabeth in a Judean hill town about 80 miles from her home. About a 4 days journey for her to get there. By herself. And after her interaction with Elizabeth, as she enters into the house, and Elizabeth's baby, we know it's John, who bounces in the womb of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit as she proclaims who Mary's baby will be. Elizabeth declares the baby being born to Mary is indeed the Lord and becomes the first human witness to the good news that the angel brought to Mary. In the story, we see a connection between two pregnant women of different generations. God gives Mary and Elizabeth two things that each lacked: connection and community. Now, I think that's one of the things I love about my pickleball playing groups, is that there's men and women of all different generations who find connection and community through this activity of pickleball, and we just join together and we live life together, generations that are so different from one another. In today's scripture, these women who are pregnant with significance, for they bear both the message and the messenger. God removes the isolation and helps them to understand themselves more fully as part of something larger than their individual destinies. In the scripture, the Lord came, God came to turn things upside down, becoming one with someone that all others would consider unworthy for such a task, for such a relationship. In the scripture, we see God turning things upside down through the inaugurated by the incarnation of Jesus, the Messiah, coming into our midst. And the story invites us all to enter into that same joy, amazement, even foolishness and danger enacted by Mary and Elizabeth in saying yes to God. It calls us to enter into the story. And for us to enter into the story means you seek to be in relationship. Maybe we can't be in relationship with Mary and Elizabeth, but we have plenty of people who we can be in relationship with who are in the same situation as Mary and Elizabeth. Marginalized. Oppressed. To enter into the situation means that we walk with folks. And I think it's the way that God reminds us that God can work in the lives of anybody and everybody, and that we're never beyond the ability for God to use us for hope in the world. Brian Stevenson, I was listening to a podcast this week, and Brian Stevenson, who's a lawyer and the author of the book Just Mercy, said, "Hopelessness is the enemy of justice, and injustice prevails where hopelessness persists. Strength and power is rooted in hope. To believe things that you haven't seen. Having a world bigger than you can see. Development of hope and community takes time, and waiting is Well, waiting is not really something that we do well. So instead of waiting, or we then go searching for something, and we find people and communities that seem to use fear as a currency to gain more influence and power towards those who have trouble sitting in the waiting and unknown. Instead, we sometimes will grasp at anything to fill that void and mystery by often hearing a narrative of the worst possible scenarios and people of the worst possible places. And then we don't make good decisions. We don't make good decisions when those decisions are shaped by our worst fears. But you see, hope is the antidote to that. Hope is about getting on the other side of fear. You see, you can't advance injustice without being close to those who need to overcome the injustice. The marginalized, the oppressed. It requires proximity to those who are injustice, experiencing injustice. Proximity, you see, helps change the heart by entering into the lives of others. It creates a feeling of connection and relationship. It helps keep us motivated when things get tough. It helps us become more passionate about bringing hope to the world and those who seem hopeless. We do this by affirming them, by affirming their humanity and restoring identity as a child of God. Engaging with others instead of moving against the connection and community that God desires for each one of us. It's so easy today to isolate ourselves with the fences around our house, with ordering our groceries and having them delivered, that we don't ever have to go outside and experience those who might need our generosity and our compassion. But if we're going to really understand others, then we have to get close to them. We have to meet them where they are. We have to look for opportunities to be change agents and difference makers. And that's what we experience in this story of Jesus coming and dwelling in the midst of someone who was excluded, who was cast out, who no one believed. You know, some of the things I've done in the past, and this is just a couple examples as I was thinking about what to share to kind of relate this, of proximity and getting close to people instead of just hearing it on TV or hearing it on the news or reading it in the newspaper, but instead of just watching on the news what was taking place, maybe going down and being with those who are protesting on one side or the other and hearing their story and being one with them who are just seeking support and solidarity for the family who had lost their child due to unfair judgment or prejudices. Going and meeting who they are and their cause behind it. Or instead of being in the valley for 9 years in Weslaco and Harlingen, instead of just hearing about the immigration crisis that was on the border, you know, 10 miles away, I entered into the courtrooms where people, brothers and sisters, were being processed and was able to hear firsthand the stories and the situation that was taking place. And then I was able to give a better voice. Every week, there are people from this church who go and support unhoused neighbors of Austin through the Thursday morning clothing closet or open door ministry. And over a period of time, it becomes more than just handing a meal or a jacket. Once you get to talk to people, you begin to understand community. It becomes more than just a number. If you help, if you're in proximity with others, as God came into proximity with us once again, You know, it's then when we finally understand and encounter Jesus and getting to know others and understanding their situation. And when we do that, we can't help but sing of the joy of God in our midst, as Mary did in today's scripture. Where the powerful are brought down from their thrones, and the lifted up the lowly, and he's filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty, and has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, his justice for all. And so may we be agents of that justice in the world today. As we experience and as we become in proximity with others, may the relationship that we experience change both their life but also our life. May we be those agents of hope and of love and of joy and of peace for those around us today and always, as the weary world rejoices. Let us pray. God, we do indeed love you, and we thank you for your example, for the ways in which you come into our midst, and the joy, Lord, that it brings to our lives. God, we thank you that you came for anybody and everybody, that no one is beyond your love that you have for them, for us, for me, for those gathered here today. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to be together and worship. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.